Thank you, Teresa. That was good. That was good. Spring's coming. Somebody said it's mud season. We went for a ride yesterday to see snow. I went skiing Friday up to Black Mountain in Rumford, and I knew in the county they had a lot of snow, but I had no idea, even once you get north of Turner, how much more snow there is. And we went up just to take some pictures of houses with their windows, ground floor windows, snow's half up over their windows. This isn't in the county. This is just up in Rumford. But one person, it was so sick of it, you could hardly see their house, their driveway. I don't know how they get out of their yard because there's 12-foot bankings at the end of their driveway. But they put a sign out that said, "Die, winter, die." And I'm sure they get a lot of waves and whatever. You may see it on screen. Depending how the week goes, it may be on screen next week. Die, winter, die. Well, today a little different. As I mentioned earlier when we first started out, we're going to have a presentation by two people who a week or so got back from a missions trip. Eric's been doing these for coming on to, 20 years, 19 years? And Cheryl was able to go this year for the first time, so you're going to get both perspectives on that. Can you put the map up? Sure, the map's coming up. They're down in the Dominican Republic. You see where that is. Most of you know where that is. Like most of what I overly generalize as third world countries, there is both great poverty and then glimpses of wealth, but non-existent middle class. So they're going to fill you in on some of what they've done. So I don't know. Did you figure out who's going first? Eric, come on up. This is Eric Morris, and lives in town here. A little background. He's a pharmacist. That's where I get all my free drugs. And not true. Not true. I want to keep his license. Anyway, so Eric, come on up and share what God's put on your heart. This great ministry you've been doing all these years.
I know that this church has had missions involvement in Quito, Ecuador for quite a while, but this is something I've been involved with, like Pastor Ron said, for the past 20 years. A missionary trip to La Romana, Dominican Republic. And I'm not good at public speaking, so bear with me. Donnie, can you put that other? So, pointer. Dominican Republic is right there. If you look, it's almost directly below Maine. It's part of the Caribbean, and it shares the island of Hispaniola with one other country, which is Haiti. And together, the Dominican Republic and Haiti are the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. La Romana, if you want to put on that next slide. La Romana is one of the three major cities along the southern coast. Santo Domingo is the capital right here. It was the first and oldest major city in the Americas. San Pedro, which is right here. Sorry for the not very good pictures. San Pedro is the next major city, which is really known for rapid industrialization and an uncanny knack of producing baseball talent, actually. La Romana, which is where we go, which translates roughly to the scales, and I'll explain that later. And then Punta Cana, which is what most people are familiar with when they hear about the Dominican Republic, because over here, that's known for tourist hotspots that literally, over the past probably 15 years, became the place to go for cheap vacations. For reference, La Romana is about the size of Greater Portland, and the population is about three times the size of Greater Portland. So, just to give you a reference. Every year during the past part of January and the first part of February, a team from Maine volunteers in the short-term mission that involves both construction and medical personnel. The construction team continues work on the Good Samaritan Hospital, which is in the city, and which is a state-of-the-art facility by Dominican standards that has been open since 1998. So what I mean by that is it's not, think Midcoast Hospital and then dial it back a few pegs. The Dominican Republic and Haiti are both third world countries. So it's not going to be the same standards of what we would be accustomed to. The medical team, which includes providers, nurses, dental pharmacy staff, as well as others, serve as part of the mobile healthcare clinic traveling to various bateys and barrios in and around the city. And a bate is another name for a sugarcane village. It's not a place that you want to hang out in. Very poverty-stricken. They're usually isolated, separated from any major city. People there don't have cars or transportation. Food is not plentiful. Healthcare is pretty much non-existent, and very few have schools. Let's see. Now, people ask me, since this is a two-part construction and medical, like what kind of projects do they work on at the construction? How'd that get there? So I'm glad you asked. Some of the people that worked on the construction team, I'll just highlight what they worked on this year. They did extension of the motorcycle parking lot. They did drywall and electrical work on the fourth floor, painted parking lines, curbs, and fences, demolition and for reconstruction. They moved sand and concrete up to the fourth floor by hand, and they prayed for and with many of patients in the rooms that they have helped construct in the past. This year, the medical team saw over 1,000 patients during the 2 weeks in different bateys and barrios. I forgot to mention, a barrio is another name for an inner city neighborhood in the city of La Romana. This short-term mission trip is part of an ongoing mission project that's associated with the Good Samaritan Hospital, which you'll see right there. And what I mean by that is that teams have gone down, and like when we leave in the second week of February, another team from another part of the country comes and takes our place. And then when they leave, another one goes. Teams go down to pretty much the beginning of January till about May. And why does it stop in May? Because it gets really hot down there, and it's very nice back here. So it's a great time to get away in the winter. Now, I talked about Punta Cana being a tourism hotspot. Tourism industry is the chief moneymaker for the country. This is where the majority of their revenue comes from. Second is agriculture. And the Dominican Republic is well known for a couple of things, coffee and tobacco. But their main source of agricultural income is sugar. So let me ask you this. Who do you think does the majority of the work on a bate? Haitians. If you know anything about the country, the Dominican Republic and Haiti have had quite a political and racial history, which still continues to some extent today. Working in a bate is considered beneath the typical Dominican. The government, trying to make themselves look good, says that the average bate has about 20% Dominican, 80% Haitians working on them. But in reality, it's more like only 5% Dominican. The majority are primarily worked on by Haitians. So if Dominicans aren't willing to work in the cane fields and that country needs that money for its exports, what do? They recruit. So let's talk about this. Say a man from Haiti crosses the border and he goes to the La Romana to work on a plantation. He might have documents, but say he meets a nice lady and they have a child. That child grows up with no papers, no documents, no government recognition. And according to the Dominican Republic, they technically don't exist. Yet they perform the backbone work of the sugar industry in conditions beyond world poverty standards. Sorry, I get emotional. And these are the forgotten people that do the work in the Batays that the country depends on. And these are the people that we serve when we do our clinics. Now, I could tell you everything I know about this mission project. I've been involved for quite a while. And I could tell you all about the different projects that have stemmed off this original project, such as the water filtration program, or the Sugar Kids program, or Tanis and Esther's church over in San Pedro, or even the health promoter program. But I'm not gonna. Instead, due to time restraints, I'll share the background history of how this whole thing got started. And if I go over my 10 minutes, I'm sorry, but don't worry, there'll be no extra charge. So this is gonna sound like a report, and I apologize for that, but that's just the way it is. Starts back in 1952. Pastor Jean-Luc Fanord was born in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, on October 30th, 1952. And after he finished his secondary schooling, he entered the theological seminary in Limbe, Haiti, and graduated and became ordained in 1979. And after he became ordained, he moved to La Romana with his wife Elsa to serve as pastor for the Haitian Missionary Baptist Church, which is also called Maranatha Church. Now, Maranatha Church was established back in the 1930s when thousands of Haitian farmers were transported to La Romana, i.e. recruited. A new large-scale plantation was starting up in the DR, and workers were needed. These were the first Haitians in the region, and soon after the men were brought over, their families followed. The Haitian Baptist Association saw the need for a church where the Haitians could build a Christian community and worship God with customs familiar to them. At this time of Pastor Luke, when he arrived, there was no educational or healthcare opportunities or assistance. So soon after arriving in La Romana, he established 21 churches, mostly in surrounding Batays. He had a heart for the sugarcane workers and their families, and he did all that he could to help improve their lives, as well as uplift the Haitian community and to improve the image of Haitians in the Dominican society. Again, racial political tension. So growing up and witnessing the poor conditions himself, Pastor Fanord made it his mission to save children from sugarcane slavery. He realized the best way to do this was to guide children away from the harsh industry of sugarcane harvesting would be through education. He sought help from American organizations who had the means to help provide education as well as an escape for the children in some of La Romana's Batays and barrios. After many years of cumulative efforts by both churches and schools, Pastor Fanord was able to make significant changes to the area. Mission teams started coming to La Romana in 1983. The first was a construction team that was assigned to build a church in the Batay known as Kakata, which loosely translates to the spider. Doesn't sound like a nice place. The next team was a medical team. And it was a doctor on that team that encouraged Jean-Luc to build a medical clinic to care for the people in that particular Batay, singular. In 1985, recognizing the need for health care for the impoverished areas around La Romana, i.e. the Batays, plural, he had a vision for a hospital and created the Jean-Luc Fanord Foundation to help fund the Good Samaritan Hospital in La Romana. He campaigned tirelessly through the U.S. gaining support for this project. So he would travel around to throughout the United States and tell people what he was doing. And people would give him money, which was great, but what he really wanted was people to come and visit. He said, "I'll take your money, yes, great, but what I really would like is for you guys to come down and see what's going on." In 1986, Pastor Fanord went to the annual ministers' meeting at the Central Romana Sugarcane Company. Remember that plantation project that I talked about? with the intention of asking for a parcel of land to build a clinic and hospital. After all, this was their people they were trying to help. So Central Romana thought it was a joke. They're like, you're kidding, right? And once he said, no, we're pretty serious, he said, okay, we'll get back to you. Meanwhile, progressing further, an architect was hired and told to design the ultimate hospital that would ever be needed, because this was potentially going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and they wanted to be ready. And they would never probably ever get another chance for a particular parcel of land, as well as get an idea of how much land would be needed. So in February of 1988, Pastor Fenord signed a contract for the design and engineering of the hospital. In October of that year, Central Romana had the land surveyed, and drawings of the land were sent to the lawyer. On April 15th of 1989, the church had the title of the land and started clearing it. So it took over 2 years just to get the land. And the land was literally, dun-da-da-da, a dump. This was where people went to dump their crap. So, like, what you and I would look at as a dump, Pastor Fenord saw as an opportunity. This is great. We have a place to build our hospital. So in February of 1990, the church from Abington started to pour the footings on the new hospital that would rise from that land. And you can see some of the earlier pictures where they didn't even have the foundation yet. So the main team first became involved in 1992. At this time, there were only 7 churches from the U.S. that were on board. By word of mouth, mainly, 1999, there were 17 groups. And today, there's only over 60 groups visiting over 100 batays, representing 35 states across the country, totaling more than 1,500 volunteers traveling to La Romana annually. And those numbers are pretty conservative from the original time that I wrote this. The hospital was dedicated in 1997, operating out of the ground floor only, functioning primarily as a clinic. And at the time of his passing in 2001, Good Samaritan Hospital was fully functioning healthcare center, seeing over 40,000 patients annually. So there's 3 major hospitals in La Romana. The other 2 are private. They're not anything like this one. But Good Samaritan is teaching hospital. So teams from the U.S., like tubal ligation, or say if they got a bunch of eye doctors that want to come down, they'll say, hey, we're coming down, and they'll reach out to the other 2 hospitals in the town and say, we have a learning opportunity. And I know that there's, like, hospital politics here in the States, and I don't know if, like, CMMC would reach out to, like, Midcoast and say, guess what, if you guys want to come over, you're more than welcome. But that's kind of something cool about Good Sam that they do. They reach out to the other 2 competitions, if you would, and say, check this out if you want. So, that being said, there's never a shortage of providers that want to work there. They have one of the most respected reputations in the entire eastern region, and are the only ones to offer dialysis to the east of Santo Domingo. So that's pretty heavy. And again, this, I've only scratched the surface, and I've only given you a bird's eye view. There's so much more to this project than 10 minutes. But I just wanted to share something with you, a little bit about what I've been a part of. And I'm very glad this year that I got to share it with Cheryl. So.
Start off with giving a disclaimer of the leg. It was our day off, and we went to the beach, and it was beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful. Of course, here it is, Maine, with all those snowbanks that Ron was talking about. And I get very excited. I'd run towards the water once, full tilt, and run into the waves and had a blast. The second time I did it, there was a little bit of a drop off, and I missed it. So my knee just buckled under me, and I stepped down, and I couldn't stand up, and it was very painful at first, but it's getting better. Luckily, I didn't have to have surgery. I do have a tibia plateau fracture, but it's healing nicely, and hopefully I'll be able to run by the middle of July. And I have my first 4,000-footer all planned for the second weekend in July with my buddy who has to hang in there and wait for me to heal. So I knew that Eric had done this for several years, and friends of mine had gone with other groups to the Dominican. So I first really had the desire to go to the Dominican about 12 years ago, I figured, was the first time I wanted to do it. And circumstances in my life did not allow that. I finally got to the point where I thought, yeah, this is the year. Maybe I can do it this year. And I prayed about it and really, really said, yeah, I'm going to do it this year. I had no idea that Eric had been involved as long as he had been. And I had no idea of the depth of his passion, which you got to see today for this area of the world. It was a privilege to go with him. Thank you, Eric, for everything you've done for all these years. And thank you for your heart for these people, which you taught me. It was a blessing and a privilege. I'm going to talk on my pictures mostly. First going to mention that my experience there was I went exhausted. It seems to me that every January I get completely fatigued. I think it's a combination of sinus infections constantly or something, but I went feeling like this overwhelming fatigue was following me there, and hopefully I could shake some of it in the warm weather. I wasn't sure if I would because I was going to work. I was going to go help these people. So Eric had told me how wonderful the people are that are in this mission compound that we stay in, and I believed him. I was blown away. The heart of these people is phenomenal. They treat us like gold. They're kind, loving, and deeply committed to God. And I was privileged to be in their presence, and Eric was so wonderful in showing me the ropes, and I felt very, and so did everyone else in the group who he had known, his team members, for several years, and they were very welcoming. Everybody was wonderful. The woman who leads it is a nurse practitioner named Nancy Cooley. She's fantastic. And then there was other nurse practitioners as well as a radiation technologist with us. And people come that don't have medical background, too, and there's jobs for them as well. So I just want you all to know that if you ever want to go, there's obviously you can help with the construction, but there's also other jobs that can be for lay people as well. So I got there, got settled in my own place. I am a severe insomniac, as some of you know, and they were very sweet to give me my own room tucked away. And I did well there. So everybody was very affirming and wonderful, and getting to know these new people and new nurse practitioners who practice in the Augusta area was really interesting and fun for me. So after a few days, after we went out, and we would go in the morning, we'd have prayer, first of all, and a Bible reading and some music before we had breakfast, and then we would go to the Batez 9 o'clock? Yeah, about 9 o'clock we got on the bus. So, and then we'd come back in the afternoon. My life is so busy that I really don't have much downtime. And having this spell of downtime in the afternoon was shocking at first, and then extremely restoring. The Holy Spirit met me there like beyond my wildest dreams of restoration for my soul. He surrounded me in his love, took away the fatigue, and really brought me closer to him. And I cannot be more grateful. I feel like a different person. I went wounded and still hurting from all that's happened in my past year. And I found a balm in Gilead. I found peace and comfort and care from these people and from my God. And it was a privilege to go, and I really am looking forward to hopefully going again. I'll show you a few pictures. I'll go through them pretty as quickly as I can, just to give you an idea. It doesn't show super well on this, but this is where we come in. You walk in these doors here, and coming from snow and all that we see outside, I walked into this combination of trees, which is several of the different groups that they've woven together of trees that are native, and it's a courtyard, and it's sunny, and it's beautiful, and it's just 85 degrees, and it's shockingly delightful. next slide. This is our group. This is Lolly. She's the radiation technologist. That's Nancy Cooley. This is Sue. She was a Head Start teacher for years and became the Head Start leader for in the Augusta area. She's an absolute sweetheart, genteel lady, beautiful. This is Katie. She's a nurse practitioner, a pulmonary nurse practitioner in the Augusta main general system, and then Eric and Karen, who is also a nurse practitioner. So that just shows you our group a little bit on our way to church the second day we were there. This is the bus that belongs to the mission. It's really cute. I love the little nurse and doctor. I think they're cute. Next. This is an experience which maybe those of you who have been to Ecuador have experienced. I think I've heard you talk about it, worshiping with these people who are so dedicated and so deeply in love with Jesus, is a life-changing experience. Most of us did not have dry eyes by the time the singing was over. The Holy Spirit's presence there was so phenomenally beautiful that it's some of the deepest I've ever experienced. It was beautiful. And they're so dedicated to loving their Jesus. This was one of my favorite things, which Eric had told me about. I said, well, what do we do? I need to do something. I mean, shouldn't we be doing things? I mean, I'm always doing things, right? And he said, well, you know, after we're done with the mission and when we're done at the Batez, we do count pills sometimes. So I was like, okay, I can count pills. Let's do that. So this, again, is an attestation to Eric's dedication. He starts in September collecting medications for these people, and he works on it for month after month until he goes in February. Their medical system isn't at all like ours. It's basic. They don't have any access to any health care at all, including over-the-counter preparations. So what we do a lot, we treated basically between 10 and 15 illnesses. That was it. There is not radiology available to these people. They can't afford it. We did a lot of ibuprofen. We did a lot. We did some diabetes management, some hypertension management. Did a lot of over-the-counter preparations, which they are thrilled to get because they don't have ibuprofen for a headache. So we're able to give that to them, and they really like it. They work hard in the cane fields, and having some ibuprofen for their back at the end of the day is a big deal. It was kind of fun counting meds. It was this communal thing that we did together and very enjoyable. I have some more pictures later to show you of that. This is the Bate, I think the first one we went to. I took some pictures. Next slide. This is my favorite picture that I took. There is a little girl in the front here, sitting in her front of her house. That was a typical house. Eric did show you a little bit of the pictures too, but this one, to me, epitomizes the poverty. That is very, very much, very real when you see it. It's one thing to see it in pictures, but when you're there, it's shockingly not, it's makes you not really believe that you have all that you have. You just can't believe how much you have compared to these people. Next slide. I love this lady. I was hoping to get a picture of her without her looking at me. I really, really loved seeing all ages of people. All ages came, from little babies to the elderly. I like seeing how their culture looks after the elderly. And this lady was with her medications and about to get more from Eric. That's Eric's arm right there. Next. This is after clinic. It was, this is Karen. She was a nurse. And she is from, where's she from? Augusta area, I thought so. She's from the Augusta area. Kind of a quiet, shy person, but she was busting out a laugh at this particular instance. So Eric must be a funny man. It was a good moment to catch. All right, next. This is on our way, and we did a walkabout. We do walk, after we do the clinic, we walk about after lunch, and then we sort shortly after that. Sometimes we do afternoon clinic, and sometimes we go home, depending on if there's extra patients or enough patients. Man went riding a donkey through the Bate. Next. We were followed by the children, as you often are, and there's some pictures that were painted on their wall. Who knows from who? This little boy followed us. I forget his name. I would love to have remembered. It was a fantastic name. And this is Katie, our nurse practitioner that worked with us. Next slide. Here he is with sugar cane. A lot of the kids just cut a piece of sugar cane for lunch, and that's what they ate. Maybe they had something else. I'm not sure. Next picture. Nancy Cooley's cousin sends an entire suitcase of dresses that she makes all year long for the little girls. Nancy says she's tried to get her to come many times, but she said, nope, I just want to make the dresses. So we took pictures of the girls in their new dresses that we gave them. Next slide. And this is some more of them, and they were very adorable. This is Eric handing out some medication to a lady. Next slide. This is the children in the door. They're not allowed to really come in and raise havoc, but they were there with their sugar cane, very curious to see what we were doing. Next slide. This is, I always get it wrong. Every time we go to any clinic, we always have somebody. This is Sue. This was her job, and Lolly was helping. I always want to say piperacillin, but it's piperazine. It deworms the children, and they love lining up for it because it tastes delicious and sugary. So it helps their growth to not have the parasites. Next slide. This is me at my first post, the first day. I was terribly happy to be there. We usually go in schools or in churches is where we set up. They usually have either a church or a school in the Bate, and that we just go in and set the whole place up for our clinic at the beginning of every day. Next. This is where I think we're getting ready for the clinic, and no, or else we're on our way back out. Next. And no, is that all? Cool. All right. That basically gets it. I didn't remember which ones I put up. But that just gives you a little idea of what we do. And it really was, as I said, a privilege and a delight to be able to be there. And everybody was so kind and affirming. And I would love to learn more of the language. That's always, you hope that a little, you know, you have more connection with more language. So that's my goal for next time, is to know a little more language. Thank you so much.
I hope you can stay for the potluck. You guys answer some questions. There's questions, a lot of questions. Do you have dates for next year's trip already locked on, or last week of January, first week of February? Shouldn't say that. Right around some kind of football game, but anyway, you watched it down there. Oh, there you go. See, that would be different. Take Patriots shirts down to give away, because I'm sure they'll be there next year. I've already assumed that. Yeah. So thank you very much for sharing with us. It takes me back to some of the trips that I've done in the past. And what Cheryl said, you know, you look at the little house there, and it's only one sense. You've got a two-dimensional picture or whatever, where when you're there, it's all five senses are impacted, literally, all five senses. When you're, especially in a third world country, there's much going on. But to be salt and light in that way, to me, is just absolutely fantastic. So thank you, Eric and Cheryl, for going and doing that wonderful work. Thank you, Eric, for doing that so faithfully all these years. I think it's amazing. What they said, you know, they're getting ibuprofen for the first time. You and I, we get an ache and pain. We can do whatever we want. And we get fussy if we have to wait at a clinic or a hospital for anything, and yet that's totally foreign to them. So it's amazing. So we're going to close with a song, if the musicians would come back up and join me. To represent Christ in that way is, you know, being his hands and feet. It certainly, when I think of missions, I think, of course, that's what Jesus did there himself. Jesus was the start of missions, not the Apostle Paul, Jesus himself. And he reached out in love and did both physical needs and spiritual needs, and that's our call as well. So we're going to close with this song, and it's a great song of encouragement and hope and peace about our Savior. He does live. He's in power. That power's for us, but not just for us. But we're to go in his grace. Jesus, thank you for your work all over the globe. We got a little picture of of another spot where your light and love is shining. It started out with one man's vision, and your Holy Spirit moved him to ask and reach out for impossible things, and you answered. Just in the few minutes, Eric outlined it, to start with a dump, have a four-story hospital that's meeting needs. And then the churches and the grace of God that's being ministered. Thank you, God. We're encouraged. And that's going on all over the globe. Doesn't make it in the evening news, but it's happening. And I worship you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, your goodness that's going out. We're encouraged. Now, it's our turn, too, not just in the mission field, but in our families, in our community, at work, at school, where you said you said it, Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So this week, as we talk to people and interact, may we share your love, share your grace, offer them the hope we find in you. Amen? Amen. Go in his grace. See you out in the fellowship hall. Chorus.